And good morning and welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike, and today I'm joined here with Jeff Gazzetti, and he's from the NTSB, and here to talk about the state of the NTSB regions. I understand there's been some changes to the regions recently.
That's right, Mike. Last year we kind of had a major overhaul of the National Transportation Safety Board's cadre of regional investigators. We used to have them work and live in 10 regional offices across the country. And if I could just quickly list them, Anchorage, Seattle, Los Angeles, Denver, Chicago, Dallas, Parsippany, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and Miami. Well, because of the federal government's move towards telework, people are being allowed to work out of their homes with technology and to have telework sites, we are able to, and to streamline management, we've gone from 10 regions to 4. They are the Eastern Region, the Central Region, the Western Pacific Region, and the Alaska Region. Alaska is still its own country, so to speak, and has very unique aviation, so we that's still its own region. But and we've also downscaled or even shut down some offices. Parsippany, New Jersey is no longer a regional office. Atlanta is just basically a telework site. Dallas and Seattle will soon be smaller offices, as well as Los Angeles. And a lot of people are working at home. Probably within the next 5 years, we're going to have 3 brick-and-mortar offices, and then the rest of our force scattered in various states all over the country.
Well, it sounds like that's a good cost-saving measure to save the taxpayers a lot of money, but still provide the same amount of service. And you said you're allowing the people to just live at their house and work at, from their homes?
That's right. If they can set up a home office, and if they've got good wireless capability, internet capability, they can pretty much do anything in terms of investigating accidents, making phone calls, writing reports, putting the reports in the public docket, as they could do in a brick-and-mortar office. It makes them happier. We can retain and attract more and better employees, and we can spread them across the United States for better coverage to respond to accidents. So it's not only a huge cost savings advantage because you don't have to pay rent on leased offices, but the advantages in other areas like workforce retention, attraction, recruitment, morale, and efficiency, quite frankly, are increased.
And with being able to stay at home, they can live anywhere because the accidents aren't going to be where the offices are anyway.
That's correct. We do require that, well, first of all, we have to approve on a case-by-case basis where people would want to live. In other words, if they want to live out in the middle of Nebraska, we would probably not approve that because we want them to be fairly close to a major metropolitan airport to get around. We want them to be fairly close to a major metropolitan area and a region of the country that we believe would be well covered by an NTSB investigator.
Okay. And then if there is an accident, you just would put together an appropriate team from wherever these people are located, and you have to fly them in anyway.
That's right. And we've already done that successfully on several what we call field major accidents. We're still going to have the major GO team accidents launch out of Washington, D.C. for major airline accidents. But for lesser major accidents, for lack of a better words, we can put together a team from various regions, and they can just fly and rendezvous at the accident site.
Okay. Are there any interesting accidents that are investigations that are going on now that some people might be able to be interested in and learn something from?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to be giving a presentation at the FAA pavilion in about a half an hour to talk about it. It's been a very busy year for us the past 12 months.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. But we're able to glean a lot of safety issues in order to prevent the next accident. Probably the most talked about accident was the 51 fatal Colgan accident that occurred in Buffalo in January. A lot of issues related to pilot fatigue, pilot training, pilot experience, icing effects, which were minimal in that accident. That's a major accident. We had a public hearing last month about it and had folks testify to it, and we hope to wrap that up in a few months.
When is the report on that one supposed to be coming out?
Within a year. It'll probably be out early next year.
Early next year. Mm-hmm. And I've read some of the stuff about that. I'm very interested in that accident and a lot of things that might be coming out of that. I also understand that the new FAA administrator is very interested in actually implementing the findings from the NTSB to actually prevent future accidents.
Yes. He was Congressman LaHood, who is now the Secretary of Department of Transportation, and also his underling, new FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt, are very interested in looking at things like flight and duty times for Part 121, icing issues, addressing a lot of the recommendations that the NTSB's had on the books for the past few years now.
Because a lot of these issues aren't new issues to the NTSB. You guys have been talking about them for a very long time.
A very long time.
I don't want to say you've been talking to yourself, but a lot of people haven't been listening.
And I think the Colgan accident is serving as a lightning rod to get the general public interested. You know, when they found out that these pilots may not have been well rested and were making salaries less than taxi drivers and didn't have a lot of experience or failed previous check rides, that generated a lot of public interest, which generates congressional interest, which makes agencies move.
Well, that's good, though, because now we can use that as a experience to prevent future accidents. Out of the 121 environment, are there any interesting general aviation accidents that have been going on that you've been working with?
There are too many of them, unfortunately. We had a Pilatus PC-12 that crashed in Montana, killing 14 people, 7 of them young children. We're working that accident. We've had several corporate jet accidents. Owatonna, Minnesota, crashed about 1 year ago today, I think, killing a Part 135 operator taking off, or landing, excuse me, killing some folks. We had a fatal accident involving some of the band members of Blink 182 that crashed in a Learjet a few months ago in Columbia, South Carolina. We had a Cessna Citation that was brought down by a flock of birds in Oklahoma City last year. In fact, we're having a board meeting tomorrow to discuss the probable cause on that. Speaking of birds, of course, there's the Hudson River U.S. Air one, which really isn't a general aviation accident. But we also had a bird strike bring down a Sikorsky S-76 helicopter, offshore helicopter that killed 7 people. So birds are
sounds
suddenly...
Sounds like birds are a big issue. But other than the birds, which we really can't make them use their transponders. Is there any commonalities in all these jet accidents, these corporate jets and these private jets?
Yeah. No, there really isn't. The Learjet, we just issued recommendations about design changes to the thrust reversers and to the tires. The Owatonna accident could involve some operational issues related to runway condition and operational decision-making. Every accident is unique. In terms of the corporate jets, there isn't a common thread that comes to my mind for the recent corporate jet accidents.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. It's nice when there's one little thing that you can point to and say, we want to fix this one thing. Unfortunately, it sounds like you have a lot of things that need to be addressed.
Right.
That's why we like having you here, because you address those issues and make the skies safer. Now, have you dealt with any small general aviation?
Yeah. In fact, we issued a recommendation letter a couple of months ago, Mike, that generated a lot of controversy. It involved the Zodiac. It's a special light sport aircraft accident. There were 5 in-flight breakups over the past couple of years. We issued a recommendation to prohibit further flight in a specific model of the Zodiac, the 601XL. And the whole special light sport aircraft, as you know, that's compliance standards, we feel that they don't address flutter, testing for flutter, and also stick force gradient. Some of the Zodiac in-flight breakups were due to very sensitive stick forces where it was, I guess, easier to over-control the airplane and over-stress it. So that's a concern of ours, especially with the whole LSA world burgeoning. We're keeping a close eye on that.
Is that the only specific aircraft that has shown problems in the light sport?
No, there's a couple of other light sport aircraft that have that we're also investigating. One is a motor glider. Another one is a something called an Echo Flyer. So there's, you know, what, 60 different types of models out there, and it's an emerging, great new emerging class of airplanes to get pilots enthused. But we just want to make sure they're safe.
All right. Well, we've been talking to Jeff Gazzetti of the NTSB, and you said you have a forum going on where?
In 15 minutes, it'll be at the FAA Aviation Safety Center. I'm going to be on for an hour and a half talking about all the recent accidents in the last 12 months.
Well, we would encourage anybody who's on the field who's interested, you could go over there and participate in that. And otherwise, if you go on to listen here, you're listening to EAA Radio, and we'll be right back.